So there's plenty of skepticism about the ceasefire in Syria, but how did we get to this point? The World's Chris Wolf is here to help us break it down. Chris, why this ceasefire and why now?
Well, in short, everyone's sick and tired of the war. Even the Russians and Iranians are tired of the expense that they've been put to. Putin has already today announced a partial drawdown of his forces in Syria, trying to get some kind of peace dividend from this. But the proximate cause is the crushing military defeat that the rebels suffered in Aleppo. They know they can't come back from this militarily, and the signals from Donald Trump are that he's likely to cut aid rather than increase it. So the impulse among the rebels is to get the best deal they can now, as their position can only get worse.
I'm skeptical, too. Is this peace in our time?
No. Syria is far too fractured and there are far too many players to start talking about peace. There are perhaps 1,000 rebel groups in Syria, and we have between 8 and 13 signing on to this ceasefire. Now, the biggest rebel group is obviously ISIS, and they are in no way connected to this ceasefire in any way, shape or form. The war with ISIS continues. The next biggest group is the Kurds, who no one ever hears about. They've had a de facto ceasefire with the government for some time, and they seem to be angling towards solidifying their autonomy in the north. But they face a huge hurdle in that Turkey is dead set against that for its own domestic reasons. The Kurds are not involved with the ceasefire deal at all. Then there's that part of the war that gets all the attention, and that's the one between the regime and this kaleidoscopic coalition of rebel groups. And these rebels fall into two major clusters, the good rebels, as the US sees it, the moderates, as others call them, and the Islamic groups dominated by an al-Qaeda offshoot. And these are the groups that may be engaged in the ceasefire.
And why do you say may be engaged in the ceasefire?
Well, the al-Qaeda offshoot, which you may have heard, is the Nusra Front, now rebranded as Jabhat Fateh al-Sham. Now, Nusra wants to be in the ceasefire. They've made that clear, but the regime says they're out. However, the ceasefire is supposed to include all the districts where the good rebels are located, which is pretty much basically now Nusra land, if you want to call it that. So one of the $64 million questions here is whether the regime will respect that part of the deal. And the other wild card is whether the good rebels are so desperate for an out, an amnesty or something, that they'll throw their Islamic allies under the bus and try to cut a deal on their own. And then again, if Nusra is definitely excluded, one can easily imagine a scenario where they turn on the good rebels and demand allegiance or else. And this is the Russian dream, a classic case of divide and rule.
You keep mentioning Russia. Is there any role at all for the U.S. here?
No, the U.S. in this deal has been totally and deliberately excluded. Now, this is largely because the Obama administration has always refused to put real teeth into its Syria policy. But then, of course, you know, the U.S. had its fingers burnt in the Iraq occupation and no one wanted to support that. With Trump coming in and signaling that Russia is going to get pretty much a free hand, there seems to be no need to even bother with the facade of U.S. engagement.
How will you watch this in terms of whether it will hold or not hold? What do you think?
Well, as we just heard from the lady in Damascus, not many people have a lot of confidence. And I have to say, in my analysis, the odds are stacked against it. This deal is being presented and guaranteed by Russia and Turkey, and notably not Iran. And even the regime's support seems to be qualified. So that doesn't bode well. Then the good rebels, as I mentioned, could decide to throw Nusra under the bus. And on the other side, the regime appears hell-bent on eliminating the last rebel pockets around the capital, Damascus. And Damascus, as we heard, is in the midst of this acute water shortage. So the regime might well use that as justification to try and destroy those last rebel pockets around the city under the cover of a humanitarian operation to obtain the water supplies that those rebel neighborhoods held.
Best case scenario, though, it does hold, at least for a while. What then?
So the plan is to have peace talks in Astana, the capital of Kazakhstan. Now, this symbolically would be a total repudiation of the previous US-led efforts in Geneva. And I think the best that anyone can hope for is some kind of confederation along the lines maybe of like the Bosnia-Herzegovina situation, where there's different parcels of land are administered or almost frozen, as it were, under control of their respective powerhouses. But then you've got the huge Russian, Turkish and Iranian competition to carve out spheres of influence as well. So who knows what these great powers will do.
That was the world's Chris Wolf.